to talk to you today about resurrection thinking. So if you will, grab your scripture, however you attain that, however you get to it, and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we'll be going to verse 39 there. And while you're doing that, let me read some scripture to you. Because from 2 weeks ago, I want to read you a text, and from last week, I want to read you a text. These were the texts used by me 2 weeks ago and by Kurt last week. So while you're turning to Matthew chapter 26, 2 weeks ago, this is what I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind? Everybody say mind. For who has known the mind of Christ, or who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind. Everybody say mind. We have the mind of Christ. And I talked about how we have the mind of Christ. Not we're getting it. We have it. The problem isn't that we don't have it. The problem is we don't use it. And then last week, from Philippians chapter 2, we read this, and Kurt brought this up with us. Let this mind, everybody say mind. Mind. All right. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. That's what this weekend's about. Friday, the point of death, and then even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you missed either of those last couple weeks' messages, you can go back and catch up on them. So now we're to the scripture for today. And I'm going to bounce off of those things and do some things today that have to do with this special resurrection day. By the way, I heard something interesting recently. I'm just going to squeeze this in there. No extra charge. Not in my notes. But when I was a young man, I had lots of things thrown at me. There were all these scholarly things that were being thrown at me. And somebody said that Easter, the word Easter, was not a word that came from a good root. They seemed to think it was connected to Astarte and the worship of Druid goddesses and whatever. I saw a very interesting report. If any of you are interested in it, I can help you find it. But basically, they traced the root of the word Easter back, and it's not what they thought. It has to do with something rising, as in the east. And the idea wasn't the sun, but it was the Son of God. And so if any of you have been a little intimidated about using the word Easter, I think most people know what it means to us today anyway. So don't be intimidated. Just be happy. It's Easter Sunday. Now, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This isn't usually the text on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. Usually it's just right to the resurrection. But I wanted us to get some context of some things today, because we need to understand and we need to remember that Jesus didn't just tell us what we ought to do. He just didn't teach us a whole lot of stuff. He modeled for us how we ought to live. He modeled for us how we walk through this life. So it wasn't just good ideas. This is real life. This resurrection thing is real life, and it's not just real life in the next life, it's real life in this life. And this is the hardest thing for us to understand, because we kind of live in this life, don't we? How many of you have been here a while? Yeah, you live in this life. This is the world we live in, and that which is not of this world is it's a little bit outside of our norm. Although it's God's desire that that which is outside of our normal life become more part of our normal life. How many of you want signs and wonders and miracles to be part of your normal life? I want signs and wonders and miracles to be a part of your normal life. I want signs and wonders and more miracles and things like that to be part of my normal life. And I think God wants us to see him moving in the world as part of our normal life. Because that's what life in God really looks like. Interestingly, I see some other scriptures that I want to bring to your attention about this real life. Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Take up his cross? How many of you expect that sometime before you die, you'll be crucified? You got plans for that? Matthew 16, 24 through 25, Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And note then the same idea that follows the take up your cross in the last one. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I go to this theme a lot. Maybe I'm still trying to get me to believe it. Maybe that's why I feel so drawn to it. It is hard to comprehend sometimes what we're being asked to do. Jesus literally took up the cross. Jesus literally lost his life. But here's the question. When Jesus lost his life, did he find it? Now that makes you think a little bit. Well, wait a minute. He was God before he became man. So how could he have? I mean, he gave that up, but then he became man. But how could he just find what he already had? I mean, it's kind of hard for us to comprehend. Yet, as the Philippians text earlier made known to us, that he, by doing what he did, found something even greater. He found a name that was above every name. Didn't he already have a name that was above every name? There was something going on here. His death on the cross positioned him to be exalted. I don't know how you get any higher than God. But somehow God was doing something where there was an increase of the glory that he didn't have before he did this. And that's, I don't know if I can get there from here. I mean, a lot of stuff in the Bible is boom, just beyond where I can go. And what he did brought glory to God the Father, it says in Philippians. Wait a minute. How much glory can you have if you're already God? I mean, more than you've already got? Somehow. Isaiah 9:7 says this, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. You see, there's this thing with God. God's increasing. I don't know how that works. I'm just telling you what I see. Somehow, God's increasing. And I think part of that increase that God is increasing is the fact that God is increasing in us. And as we increase, he increases. Does this make any sense to anybody but me? So Jesus sets an example and gives us an opportunity to become disciples. And by doing what we did, we become more like him. Luke 9:23 is another one of these verses. This one I actually wrote a song to when I was 16 or 17 years old. I've sung it here in the past, not today. A little froggy today. But Luke 19:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. take up his cross daily? Oh, I'm going to get crucified every day. How many of you want to be crucified every day? I'm not sure what you're saying, Pastor Tim. I am not either. The thing is, we succeed in following his example by denying ourselves and determining that we're going to daily die to ourselves and be alive to him. So when do we take up our cross? When do we take up this daily cross? How do we take up this daily cross? Am I supposed to die daily? I reckon so. Everybody say reckon. Okay. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every day, every moment of every day, when I can avoid stupid, most of you know I like to consider sin and stupid pretty much the same thing. And I don't like being stupid. In fact, I found out that when I realized that sin was just stupid, I wanted to sin even less because I don't like being stupid. I don't like getting tricked by the devil. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3,455 times on the same stupid sin. Wow. And yes, some of us struggle with that. We know. This is a mindset. This is a mindset. We are still here. We're still on this planet because he wants us to pursue this mindset. He wants us to become like he became. And he wants us to learn to lay down our lives in order that we may have a life that has a greater glory. Galatians, I've got a lot of scripture today. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. No longer me. It's no longer about me. Now here's the thing though. We live in a world, have you noticed, like, you can't hardly watch TV some days without seeing all sorts of self-help things. Live your best life. Be this, be that. Attain your goals. Da 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 da. All that stuff all the time. Sometimes I think American Christians are not focused quite the way they need to be focused. Are we focused on losing our lives more than we are on making our lives better? Are we focused more on losing our lives? Are we looking for opportunities to lay our lives down for one another, for our family, for our friends, for our workplaces, for our schoolmates? You start naming the list. Are we looking for opportunities to lay our lives down? Or are we looking for ways to improve and make our lives just, wow, aren't you amazing? Sometimes I get the feeling, and this is not something that I don't battle myself. It is, so I'm not going to try to tell you that I got this all figured out, because I don't. But sometimes I get the feeling that God is an additive that we bring into our lives to make them better. You know, I got this life that's going on, and here's what I need. I need to sprinkle a little God in there, and then my life will be really good. Yeah. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. God wants your life to be better. Okay, just want to make sure you understand that. God wants you to have a better life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants you to have the easy burden, the light burden. And it's found in his yoke. I want you to know that God did not send his son into the world to make your life harder. And that's exactly why he wants you dead. Because when you're dead, you won't have a care in the world. Look at your neighbor and say, when you're dead, you won't have a care in the world. When you're dead, you won't have a care in the world. Wow. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now look, I'm going to be real honest. I've watched a lot of people over the years. And in the last couple of years, I watched my own parents pass from this life into the next. And my dad especially was anxious to do so. Mom wasn't quite as sure what was going on, quite honestly. Some of you remember that. But my dad, he was like, in fact, I've told this before, he started to have a seizure in the hospital one time, and I called the nurse in, and she went, pushed a button, and then everything broke loose. She was running around scrambling, trying to, because he was about to go right then. He was about to check out, and they got him stabilized. Later, I told him about it, and he goes, why did you call them? He was ready not to have a care in the world. He was ready to go. And as I told you, he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. But you and I aren't, probably most of us in this room, right at the brink of going right now. And we don't need to be, and we probably shouldn't want to be. Because I think God still wants to work something in us, something amazing. So, you know, when you're dead, you don't have a care in the world. Somebody may say, well, Pastor, you're killing me. You're welcome. You're welcome. Glad I could help. John 12, verses 23 through 25. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There's that line again. Finding your life and losing it. Losing your life and finding it. This is hard for us to comprehend, but it is the way to real life. It is the way to real life. This is resurrection thinking. That's what I told you I want to talk to you about. Resurrection thinking. That's the title of this message. I want us to somehow, and I've been working on it for a long time, and I still don't have it every time I need it. But somehow, to get to the point where I realize I've got to think about what God wants in this situation, because this may be my moment of death. The moment of death that allows the seed to be planted that then comes up, multiplied, a harvest, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And there have been times in my life where I had to give up what I wanted, but in so giving up what I wanted, I got what he wanted for me. And what he wanted for me was so much better than what I wanted for myself. Let me say that again. What he wanted for me is so much better than what I wanted for myself. What he wanted for all of us is so much better than what we want for ourselves. Do you think God could have looked down when Jesus prayed that prayer in the garden and said, well, okay, let's just not do this? He could have. But what he wanted for his son was so much better than Jesus, God made man in the flesh, manifest in the flesh, could even imagine at that moment. God knew. I think Jesus knew when he was God, but then he was not God because he divested himself of God, but yet was God. And I don't understand all that either. Y'all theologians, you get that all figured out. You come and correct me on all that. I don't think anybody fully understands this stuff. I just love him. I just love him. When we reckon ourselves dead, that's when we walk in resurrection life. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, one of my favorite verses. If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, everybody say mind. We've done that several times. On things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow. I want to do it all right now, but you know what? If I do nothing more right now, I want to appear with him in glory. But here's the thing I think that we don't understand. We hear that appear with him in glory, and we think that's only when we go on to the next life. What if God glorifies himself in this life through you? Will you get part of the glory? It's kind of hard to avoid. And sometimes we need to be careful with it because a few people have gotten the glory and then they thought they were all that in a bag of chips. And they weren't. When I learned this verse that I just quoted to you, we used to sing it as a song. And we quoted the King James when we would sing it. And we would say, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. But the word affection there, I thought that's interesting. Because here it says mind, but in that King James Version it said affection. What's the affection? It's that thing that predominates every other thing in your mind. It's that thing that really is the focus of my life. If I can set my life on his thinking, if I can think like he thinks, I'm going to get something better than I can come up with if I think. And I need to set my affection on what he wants for me. And he wants me to be dead and have my life hidden with him so that he can bring me forth and bring glory. Now let me remind you, we've talked about this a lot over the years, but repentance, the word repentance, literally means to change the way you think. And while I think there's value in godly sorrow when you are in repentance, there are times when people are sorry, but they're not really repentant because they're sorry they got caught, or they're sorry they did something wrong, or they're sorry they hurt somebody by what they did, but they haven't changed the way they think, so they just keep doing the same thing. Anybody got anybody in your life who does that? Yeah. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and you're just waiting on them to get it, but they don't seem to get it. And maybe that's you sometimes. I know it's been me sometimes. I need to repent. I need to change the way I think. I can't think the way everybody else thinks. I can't think the way the world thinks. And by the way, the first verse that we looked at today talks about how the world thinks the way we think is foolishness. So I got to get outside of a mindset that is of this planet, this world, and I've got to get into a mindset that's out of this world. It's out of this world thinking. I don't know about you. I want to take up my cross daily, but I found that some days I need to take up my cross hourly. I had to take it up the last hour because of something somebody said to me that I wanted to tell them what for. But I died to that, and I acted like Jesus would have. And then an hour later, they're asking me for a favor. And Jesus said, if somebody asks you for your, what, cloak, give him your coat also. Whatever that looks like. Wow. I died once already today. Can't I just tell him off now? See, this is resurrection thinking. And the result of this kind of thinking will bring increase. Increase in the kingdom and increase in my life. Increase in my life. Increase in your life. Well, Pastor, that sounds good, but I just don't know if I can do that. You probably can't. Me either. It's an important point that we realize that when we come to the point of sacrifice, are we going to be able to do it? It's hard to die. First, let me just say this. Dying daily means it's something we practice. So I'm thinking maybe I need to kind of wake up to the idea of waking up every day and saying, this is your day, Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I give this day to you. What are we doing? What do you want me to do next? Where are we going? I'm yours. Take me where you want me to go. Help me to do what you want me to do. And making that day part of his and dying to myself right off the bat. The first thing that I do. But listen to this from Hebrews. Therefore, we also, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Let me tell you where it's at. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Everybody say, author and finisher. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. If only I could see what's beyond the sacrifice. Sometimes all I can see is the sacrifice. If only I could see beyond this thing that's killing me right now. That I'm having to hold myself and behave myself in a way that I don't want to hold myself and behave myself. I have to do something. I have to make a decision. I had different plans, and now my wife has done it again and come up with something for me to do. Yeah, you're laughing because we all do. Husbands do it to wives. Wives do it to husbands. Kids do it to their parents. You can't have kids and not die a little. I've got to see beyond the sacrifice. And if I can see beyond the sacrifice, then I can have resurrection thinking. Jesus saw the increase somehow. It says that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Somehow he saw something that caused him to be able to endure. I don't think I'll ever have to endure anything anywhere near that strenuous. Mark was talking about it before we started. Anywhere near that hard. What he endured was just beyond our comprehension. And I will never have to do that. But I'll have to die a little every day. Oh, wah. Wah. They didn't treat me good at work today. And I had to keep my mouth shut because I'm a Christian. I didn't like that. Wow. He knew that what he was doing was world-changing. Do we know that when we choose to die to self, it's world-changing? Oh, maybe it doesn't change the whole world at the level that he did, but it does because it's a continuation of what he's already done and is doing. It's world-changing, and it changes the world around me. It changes my family's world. It changes my work world. It changes my neighborhood world. If I can die to myself and live unto God, I can see things happen that I'll never see happen if it's all about me. So the sacrifice may be spending time with your family when you had something else in mind. I hate for you to have to turn off that football game and go throw a football with your kid. Ow. But it's fourth and goal. I got to see the result. Well, you might have to sacrifice by working harder than anybody else around you while they're all slacking off. I'm doing it all and they're getting credit. Where are they getting credit? Do you want to worry about where they're getting credit or where you're getting credit? God sees it. It might be financially sacrificing. Have you ever had to give up something you've been saving for years? But if we can look beyond the sacrifice to the joy, then he will help us because he will make us able to endure the pain. See, he's the author and finisher. He gets us into this and he'll get us through it if we'll let him do it. I want to have the mind of Christ. And if I want to have the mind of Christ, if I really want to think like God wants me to think, at least, then I have to be willing, at least willing enough to say, to confess, Lord, it's yours. It's all yours. You know, I'm talking to a room full of extremely wealthy people. Those watching on video who don't know our congregation, there's not probably any millionaires in here. Just Joyce, yeah, from the testimony earlier. Maybe somebody in this room has got a retirement that's in that category. I don't know. But most of us in here are not that kind of wealthy. And yet, in this room where we sit right now, we are among the wealthiest people in the world. When you take this group of people and you compare them to the wealth that is contained in the world, we live in luxury compared to much of the world. We have things that they don't know about, or they know about it because they see it on TV and now they want it. They'd like to have what we've got. If you're an American, you're in the top 10% of the world's wealthiest people. That's what they say. Even if you're the poorest, you're still in the top 10% of the world's wealthiest people. The poorest American is better off than 90% of the people in the world. We've had a good life, most of us. Some of you have been through some stuff. I get that. Some of you have been through some hard stuff. Hard stuff. Sometimes we need to die to that too. We just lay everything at the feet of Jesus. We just die to everything and just live unto him. And yeah, someday this week I'm probably going to be thinking about me and do something that's only about me. By the way, it's not bad to take care of yourself. Have an ice cream cone. It's all right. God wants you to have good things. All I'm saying is, as we just learn to die to self and live to God, the glory of God will increase, and he will also increase us. He'll increase us. The way to increase is to decrease. He who loses his life will find it, a better life than he could have ever found on his own. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll turn this over to Mark, and he'll come and finish. But just put your hands out in front of you like this if you can, or something close to that. Lord, help us. Help us to learn in those moments, those daily moments, where we need to let go and lay our lives down for the sake of what you want to do. Help us to learn to do that. Help us to be crucified and yet to live. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Let that become real to each one of us, Lord. And let us find ourselves more and more bringing increase, being that seed that goes into the ground, but then seeing the fruitfulness of it as it multiplies. Work in us, God, so that this world can have that witness that will bring the kind of revival, Lord, that will sweep up billions into your presence. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.